Good day, and welcome to the Equifax Investor Update conference call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Dorian Hare, Senior Vice President, Head of Investor Relations. Please go ahead, sir.
Thanks, and good morning. Welcome to today's conference call. I'm Dorian Hare. With me today are Mark Begor, Chief Executive Officer, John Gamble, Chief Financial Officer, and Sid Singh, USIS Business Unit Leader. Today's call is being recorded. An archive of the recording will be available later today in the Investor Relations section in the About Equifax tab of our website at www.equifax.com. During today's call, we will be making reference to certain material that can be also found in the Investor Relations section of our website under Events and Presentations. These materials are labeled Account Acquisition Investor Update. During this call, we will be making certain forward-looking statements to help you understand Equifax and its business environment. These statements involve a number of risks, uncertainties, and other factors that could cause actual results to differ materially from our expectations. Certain risk factors inherent in our business are set forth in the filings with the SEC, including our 2019 Form 10-K and subsequent filings. Also, we will be referring to certain non-GAAP financial measures, including adjusted EPS attributable to Equifax, adjusted EBITDA, and adjusted operating income, which will be adjusted for certain items that affect the comparability of our underlying operational performance. Our non-GAAP measures for completed periods are detailed in reconciliation tables, which are included with our prior period earnings releases and are also posted on our website. On this call, we will not be discussing Equifax fourth quarter and calendar year 2020 financial results. Now I'd like to turn it over to Mark.
Thanks, Dorian. I hope everyone had a great holiday and is staying safe in the COVID environment. Thanks for joining us this morning to discuss our acquisition of Kount, which we announced on Friday. This is an important strategic step for Equifax as we accelerate the growth of our identity and fraud business. As summarized on slide three, Kount is a leader in providing digital trust through the digital customer journey, supporting e-commerce customers and partners by providing platforms, trust scores, and data that allows customers to transact confidently with consumers. Combining Kount's best-in-class digital identity platforms and data with Equifax's extensive consumer identity data positions Equifax to expand and grow in the fast-growing digital identity and fraud marketplace. This fast-growing market is estimated to have a TAM of about $20 billion with growth in the high teens annually. The identity and fraud market has become increasingly important with the macro trend we have discussed before of consumers completing more transactions digitally, including digital banking, bill pay, e-commerce, and more. The move to digital and online has accelerated during COVID, which requires advanced identity and fraud capabilities across all industry verticals. For example, e-commerce is up over 20% in 2020 alone. Online banking was up 67% in 2020, with mobile wallet usage up from 38% in 2019 to 55% in 2020. Online card fraud hit nearly $6 billion last year, with 40% of e-commerce merchants reporting an issue in chargeback fraud. And over 40% of merchants say that digital fraud slows their innovation and growth. Identity and fraud is clearly one of our customers' top challenges. The move to digital and online has been a macro for our customers for the past 5+ years and was only accelerated by COVID. We expect consumer behavioral changes to digital to only expand in the future, which drives the market opportunity for Equifax by expanding in the identity and fraud space. Equifax's cloud data and technology investments and cloud-native platforms will enable a smooth and rapid integration of Kount and enable Equifax capabilities, accelerate new product rollouts, and optimize the synergies from the acquisition. Adding Kount will significantly accelerate growth in Equifax's existing digital identity solutions driven by Kount's market-leading digital identity and fraud platform, their extensive data network that enables the linking of physical and digital identity and transactional data across 32 billion annual digital interactions. Their leading technology position, including advanced AI and machine learning, reinforced by a strong patent portfolio. Their global digital footprint and capabilities, supplementing Equifax's global reach that includes leading positions in Canada, UK, Spain, Australia, and India. And their deep e-commerce customer and partner relationships to leverage Equifax's existing relationships across financial services, telco, and utilities. Account acquisition is aligned with our focus around expanding and strengthening Equifax with bolt-on M&A that brings new capabilities and unique data assets. Our strong outperformance in 2020 and strong balance sheet allowed Equifax to reinvest in account acquisition that will drive growth in 2021 and beyond. We expect Count will add 100 to 150 basis points to Equifax's 2021 growth and will be neutral to EPS in 21 and accretive in 2022. The next few slides provide an overview of Count and its unique capabilities. As indicated on slide 4, Count provides AI-driven platforms and products focused on preventing fraud in digital payments and account creation and management, as well as on the prevention of account takeovers. Their flagship product, Count Command, delivers the Count Omniscore, along with robust capabilities for users to tune automated identity and fraud policies and manage exceptions with a robust case management system. Count supports the protection of digital consumer journeys and transactions with over 9,000 brands worldwide. Count's 2019 revenues were over 90% in the U.S., but Count capabilities are utilized worldwide with strong global growth potential. Count delivers through both direct partner and integrated partner channels. The direct channel targets enterprise and mid-market customers and is incorporated directly into their technology stacks. The integrated channel provides a differentiated value proposition for payment service providers, gateways, acquirers, and other merchant aggregation points. Count has built an extensive digital identity consortium, principally across e-commerce and payments, which has allowed them to create extensive identity data. Count's extensive network of e-commerce and payments customers and partners provides them with a broad set of data assets against which to provide passive identity validation and fraud detection. Slide 5 shows that through both direct and partner relationships, Count annually sees over 32 billion interactions with consumers, provides over 5 billion transaction verifications, and has amassed data covering over 1 billion IP addresses, a billion unique devices, 600 million email addresses, and 400 million physical addresses. As we'll discuss a bit later, Count's data, when combined with Equifax's extensive identity data, creates a compelling competitive position for Equifax. Count's unique consumer payment and location data, transaction data provided by customers, and digital identifier data has allowed them to build and continuously improve through advanced data analytics, including patented AI and the Count Omniscore. Based on data points derived from billions of historical transactions and Count's Identity Trust Global Network database and unsupervised machine learning that detects emerging patterns, the Count Omniscore optimizes approval rates by providing likelihood of new and existing fraud that become chargeback events for e-commerce and retailers. It is these deep and broad data assets and advanced data analytics, including the Count Omniscore, that allow Count to deliver customers a basis for establishing a measurement of real-time identity trust with consumers. As shown on slide 6, this capability delivered through the Count platform of services allows it to deliver robust solutions across the customer digital journey, including an identity verification and fraud detection. Count direct and partner customers rely on Count solutions to increase real-time transaction validations while minimizing both fraud and false negative. Slide 7 highlights why customers choose Count, including they're the only end-to-end solution to protect the entire customer journey. Over 90% reductions in chargebacks and up to 83% reductions in manual reviews and 70% reductions in false positives. The scale of the identity trust network at Count, combined with next generation AI and machine learning models with a sophisticated policy engine. Automated and customizable use cases for large enterprises. Advanced analytics and data on demand. Superior customer success with exceptional expertise and scalable architecture with superior performance and reliability. We've done extensive research on customer feedback as a part of our due diligence process, and this has come back very positively. And we've included some of the sample quotes on the right-hand side of this slide. It's important to emphasize that Count serves as a growth platform for its customers' e-commerce activities while simultaneously enabling trust and confidence. Slide 8 highlights the power of the combination between Equifax and Count will deliver even more comprehensive and predictable identity and fraud data assets and solutions. Looking specifically at combining Count with Equifax U.S. differentiated data assets creates a powerful basis to improve the real-time identity and trust fraud detection provided to our existing customers, Equifax, FI, and telco customers, as well as Count's retail and e-commerce customers. The combination also creates a comprehensive set of capabilities and solutions across the digital journey with leading capabilities from account opening and registration through transaction and execution and payments. The combination of Equifax and Count data will drive new products and solutions in the identity fraud space that will drive Equifax growth. As I mentioned earlier, the cloud technology and data transformation at Equifax has already substantially renewed and expanded Equifax's identity validation capabilities and enabled the acceleration of new products, as we discussed with you during 2020. Our new Luminate identity and fraud platform, which uses advanced analytics, AI, and machine learning and data orchestration, provides risk managers with insights to help manage fraud decisions across the consumer account lifecycle. It also includes bio document verification, synthetic fraud detection, and other advanced services. Equifax's historic strengths and enhanced services have been in account opening, ID verification, and credit and eligibility. Combining these capabilities with Count's extensive data assets and strengths in ID verification and authentication in transaction and payments creates a compelling solution suite. The Equifax technology transformation also greatly enhanced our ability to quickly integrate the Count and Equifax capabilities into the Equifax cloud on GCP. Count's strong technology platform will within the next 12 to 18 months be migrated to the Equifax cloud platform to allow for the full integration of Count and Equifax capabilities for new solutions, new products, and growth. Equifax Ignite, our data analytics platform that includes advanced machine learning capabilities, including Equifax patented explainable neurodecision technology, or NDT, will integrate Count's extensive data assets and AI capabilities to further enhance our ability to create new products and further accelerate new product introductions. The combined Equifax and Count global identity and fraud business, we expect to be in excess of $200 million in revenue in 2021. With Count revenue principally today in the U.S., about two-thirds of our combined revenue will be generated domestically. However, Equifax has strong identity and fraud businesses in both Canada and Australia and growing capabilities in the U.K., Spain, and Latin America. Equifax's global scale and cloud investments will enable integration and delivery of Count capabilities across our international platform, further accelerating growth and strengthening the combined Count and Equifax data assets. The combined Equifax and Count capabilities greatly enhance our ability to participate in the rapidly growing market, global market for digital identity and fraud solutions. This market is expanding with the macro trend from digitization, contactless engagement, and e-commerce. As shown on slide 9, this market is almost $20 billion with growth in the high teens. The current Count solutions address only a fraction of this market opportunity. The combined Equifax and Count with our combined data assets and integrated solution set will leverage Equifax's strong capabilities and relationships across financial services, as well as in the telco, insurance, and government channels to accelerate growth. Now I'd like to turn it over to John to take us through the financial summary of the deal.
Thanks, Mark. Slide 10 provides a financial summary of the Count transaction and the impact on Equifax. The purchase price is $640 million, or $618 million after considering the cash value of acquired NOLs. Count annualized revenue in 2021 is expected to exceed $60 million, with over 20% growth consistent with their performance in 2020. Revenue synergies are expected to total over $50 million over the next 3 years as we integrate and scale Count. We expect the impact on Equifax adjusted EPS will be negligible in 2021 and expect the acquisition will be accretive in 2022. As Mark discussed, the Equifax cloud technology and data transformation will accelerate the integration of Equifax and Count, as well as accelerate new products and geographic expansion. Our cloud investments give us more confidence to complete acquisitions like Count. Count CEO Brad Riskerchen and his team will continue to run Count and will lead the integration of Equifax and Count. We're excited to have Brad joining our team and leading our identity and fraud efforts. As you know, our 2020 financial performance was very strong and above expectations, which allowed us to end 2020 with cash balances over $1.6 billion. The purchase of Count will be funded from these existing Equifax cash balances. Our liquidity position will remain extremely strong following the closing of the transaction, with substantial balance sheet flexibility in the future. Closing is expected to occur this quarter, and I'll now turn it back over to Mark to finish up his prepared remarks.
Thanks, John. Wrapping up on slide 11, the Count acquisition reflects the execution of our strategy, focusing on acquiring companies with strong technology and accretive data assets. We view identity and fraud as an important and strategic capability that Count strengthens meaningfully. We've known the Count business and team for over 5 years. The time was right for Count to become a part of Equifax. Count's strength in the e-commerce and transaction and payments markets broadens the Equifax addressable market both in the U.S. and globally. The combination of Count's unique data generated through massive scale of their high-velocity data assets and extensive e-commerce customer and digital partner network, combined with Equifax's vast differentiated data assets, will position Equifax with market-leading capabilities in identity and fraud and accelerate new product generation across the combined business. As I mentioned earlier, our cloud technology and data investments will enable faster and more effective integration of Equifax and Count capabilities, new products, solutions, and growth. As mentioned earlier, we expect the acquisition will add 100 to 150 basis points of growth for Equifax in 21 and be accretive to adjusted EPS in 2022. We view bolt-on M&A as central to our growth strategy in the future. Count is a strike zone acquisition for Equifax. We will continue to look for similar strategic and creative acquisitions in the future. We will discuss our fourth quarter results and outlook for 2021 and beyond in a few weeks. But our confidence in Equifax business and growth strategy continues to be high, coming off a very strong 2020. Our growth levers going forward include the momentum coming off a strong 2020 into 2021 and the expected COVID recovery. The cloud benefits, as we discussed in December, will grow through 21 and 22 as we complete our customer migrations and fully deploy our cloud capabilities. Workforce Solutions, which had a very strong 2020 and is positioned for above market growth in 2021. EWS is clearly our fastest growing and most valuable business. Leveraging our cloud capabilities to accelerate new product rollouts. We delivered over 130 NPIs in 2020, up from the 125 we just discussed in December, and up from 90 in 2019, and the 70 to 80 we delivered historically. We have a big focus on innovation and NPIs to drive growth. And lastly, Count, which will give us a big lift in our identity and fraud capabilities in a fast-growing market. As we discussed, we expect Count to add 100 to 150 basis points of growth this year, with strong synergies over the next 3 years. Count is the kind of strategic, accretive, bolt-on deal we want to do more of with our strong cash generation in the future. With that, let me turn it over to the operator for questions. And as a reminder, given that we are in our reporting cycle, we plan to focus our conversation on the Count acquisition during the question and answer period. Operator, if you could open it up for questions.
Absolutely. And if you would like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. If using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, everyone, please press star 1 if you would like to ask a question. And our first question comes from Andrew Nicholas with William Blair.
Hi, good morning. Hoping you could expand a bit further on the different data sources Count is leveraging today. How much is proprietary data collection versus third-party purchase data? I believe you also mentioned an identity data consortium earlier. So just trying to get a sense of which of the data assets are unique to Count and how Equifax can be helpful to that.
Yeah, and that's part of the reason that we were so interested in Count and we spent so much time focused on them is the vast majority, virtually all of their data assets are proprietary. And I think that's what's unique about it. And the scale of the data assets that they have, you know, whether it's the interactions they have with consumers, the physical addresses, as we mentioned, over 400 million physical addresses, 280 million ship-to addresses, 400 million phone numbers, IP addresses, 600 million email addresses. The scale of that data just creates more predictability in their environment. And then when you combine it with Equifax's extensive data assets, we think we have a really compelling synergies to not only strengthen their e-commerce channel, but also to strengthen the identity and fraud capabilities that we have in with our financial services customers, with our telco customers, utility customers, and government customers. And that uniqueness of the data was central, to our focus on the acquisition.
Got it. Thank you. And then was hoping, as my follow-up, you could speak to the revenue model. Are clients charged a standard fee on like a per transaction basis, or is it a subscription agreement? And then I think I saw on the website Count offers some professional service type solutions or maybe consulting type solutions as well. So any color on kind of mix of those transaction or subscription fees versus consulting or anything like that, that would be helpful. Thanks.
Sure. And I'll pass that one to Sid Singh. I think, as we mentioned, we plan to integrate this business into our USIS business, which Sid leaves. And Sid, you want to take that one?
Yeah. Good morning, Andrew. Thanks for that question. So think about Count as a transactional revenue model. So while they offer, professional services and consulting, it's obviously in line to support the overall relationship with the end customer. So it's primarily a transactional model. So every transaction that is generated on the Count network, they charge a fee for that transaction.
Great. Thank you.
Thanks.
And we'll take our next question from Manav Patnaik with Barclays.
Thank you. Good morning, guys. The first question, does Count partner with you guys already? Is there an integration with the, credit bureau data itself, or maybe they use some of your competitors? Just curious on, if there already was an existing relationship here.
There's not, Manav, but as I mentioned earlier, Count's a company we've been watching for, gosh, way before I've been here, probably 4, 5, 6 years. It's been a company that we've admired. We think they're quite unique. And, one of the big synergies is what you just described, is really taking our, vast data assets across all of Equifax, both in the United States and globally, and combining with their vast data assets. So that's really the opportunity. And no, they don't use data from, any of our competitors today, but that's part of our synergies.
Got it. And just kind of two-part follow-up, those synergies, is that just expanding into, the other areas of fraud? I was just curious, what those synergies look like. And, just on your existing fraud business, it sounds like it's about $140 million. How fast was that growing today?
Yeah, the synergies are really from combining the data assets and just having a higher predictable solution and allowing us to, bring new solutions to our customers. That's where we see the growth. And I think we commented in the discussion, we expect the combined business to be growing faster than Equifax's, kind of historical growth rate. So it's going to be accretive to Equifax's growth rate going forward. The identity and fraud space, I think well, is one that's growing faster than I'd say the overall data industry for the credit bureaus, and it's one that's we expect would count to be accretive to our growth rate going forward.
Okay, and just the $140 million of existing fraud, is that growing the same rate, or just curious what the combined growth rate would be?
Yeah, as I said, the combined growth rate, we expect to be growing in excess of Equifax's historical growth rate. That's how it becomes accretive.
Okay, got it. All right, thanks, guys.
And next we'll hear from Kyle Peterson with Needham.
Hey, morning. Thanks for taking the question, guys. So just wanted to talk a little bit on the revenue the model of Count. Is there any seasonality that we should think about in our model if it's weighted more towards e-commerce? I don't know if there's a little bit of a kind of 4Q tilt towards that business, or just how should we think about the cadence once this deal closes?
Yeah, there's not really any seasonality that we've seen in their historical growth rates, and part of that's driven by that they're just, you know, strong growth rates historically. They're kind of outgrowing any limited seasonality that's in there. I think we've all seen, you know, when you think about Count specifically, that e-commerce is, you know, growing kind of sequentially and quite strongly. And then, you know, in our identity and fraud business, it's there really isn't any seasonality with that.
Okay, that's helpful. And then I guess just to follow up on the margins, I know you guys mentioned that, you know, Count's currently slightly profitable. Longer term, is there any reason that, you know, this business, once it's integrated into your overall identity and fraud business, that, you know, you can't, you know, bring the margins up towards, you know, USIS averages, you know, once the business matures?
No, we fully expect that to occur, right? There's no reason why our fraud business shouldn't operate at least USIS margins. It's a data business, and our data businesses tend to have very high variable margins, and therefore we expect to see these margins grow nicely.
All right. That's helpful color. Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
And up next, we'll take a question from Hamza Mazari with Jefferies.
Hey, good morning. Thank you. My first question just on Count, it's, you know, 90% U.S. Could you maybe talk about how easy is it to take this product globally and whether that's baked into any of the revenue synergies?
Yeah, it's clearly part of our strategy. You know, our focus early on, you know, will be to really leverage the integration between Count and our U.S. business to really scale the data capabilities here in the U.S. And as you know, the U.S. is the largest market in the world, and it's, you know, it's two-thirds of our business roughly at Equifax. So that'll be priority one. But we do have aspirations and plans to take it global. Count's already in the U.K. As you know, we have a U.K. business. We'd like to take Count to Canada, Australia, and some of our other markets. You know, and that'll probably follow the the integration here in the U.S. first.
Got it. And just my follow-up from a competitive standpoint, Mark, who are you competing with on these assets? You know, I know the bureaus do a little bit of fraud, but are you starting to compete with the payment names on these deals? And then as you look out to that $20 billion market, do you need to do more acquisitions to kind of scale this platform, or is most of the growth going to be organic as you look at the fraud business today?
Yeah, and maybe I'll just jump back and just add that the other, when you talk, when your first question around global, obviously the cloud investments that we've made, we think will really facilitate broadly the integration, you know, give us a lot of confidence in doing an acquisition like this because we have the technology stack that we've invested in over the last 3 years. It'll also help us globally. You know, with regards to our competitors, there's a lot of them. It's a big space. You know, obviously, our core competitors, you know, have identity and fraud businesses. LN has an identity and fraud business, and there's some other players out there. In the e-commerce space, you know, Count is one of the market leaders. So that was really attractive to us given their scale and their positioning, you know, in the marketplace. With regards to future growth in M&A, you know, we're going to be on the lookout. I think we've talked, you know, in the past in 2020 about our expectation that our cash generation will continue to grow as we go forward in 21, 22, and 23 following the cloud transformation. And our intention is to put that cash to work, you know, where we can identify attractive, strategic, and highly accretive acquisitions like Count. So if we can find acquisitions that can add to our identity and fraud space, we would certainly do that. You know, that said, we're also going to really lever our NPI capabilities. That's a big focus of ours, and a big part of putting Count and Equifax together is to roll out new solutions in the financial services market, in the telco market, utilities, government. Our core verticals are really going to be leveraged by innovation and new products, which, as we've talked about extensively over the last year or so, is really facilitated by our cloud investments. And as you heard me mention earlier, you know, we ended up the year at 130 new products, which is up a few from what we talked about in December, but up dramatically from our historical run rates. And growing new products, you know, through leveraging the cloud is clearly central to our strategy, and that'll be a part of what we do with Count and our identity and fraud, you know, vertical as we go into 21 and 22 and beyond.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
And up next, we'll hear from Andrew Steinerman with J.P. Morgan.
Hi, it's Andrew. I just wanted to get a little sense better on the percentage of revenues by vertical. You know, how much are e-commerce clients versus banks or payment companies? It sounds to me, and this is my understanding of Count before today, that the banks and the payment companies, the Chases and the Visas of the world, are more data partners, where the e-commerce, the retail companies, are the larger customer base today.
That's correct. For Count's business, of course, our identity and fraud business, you know, is primarily oriented toward financial institutions, telcos, utilities, et cetera. Count's is oriented towards retail and e-commerce, as you point out.
Okay. Thank you. That's what I was asking.
Thanks, Andrew.
Can I ask one more question? Is it a give-to-get model? Is it a give for the banks and the payment companies? Is it a give-to-get data policy?
That's it.
Yeah, so yes, it is. So basically, the way the Count network works is that different retailers will obviously work with Count to develop very specific rules that work for their businesses. And then, you know, there's going to be analysts that sit inside of these retailers to help them, you know, with the actual reviews of the cases. And the overall aggregation of all these transactions actually benefits the system. So from that perspective, all of those retailers benefit from, you know, Count. So the more we add to the network, the more everyone benefits.
Thank you.
And up next, we'll hear from Toni Kaplan with Morgan Stanley.
Thanks so much. Just wanted to ask a follow-up on the competitive question. I guess when looking at iOvation versus Count, can you talk about, you know, maybe what Count does differently or what iOvation does differently, just so we get a sense of, you know, how that compares?
Sure. So do you want to take that one?
Sure. Great question. So, you know, think about Count as a company that's embedded in the online, you know, transaction flow. So they collect four different buckets of data, as we pointed out earlier. So, for example, they're truly collecting all aspects of the payments data. So, you know, think payment type, think, you know, where the card is issued from or what country, what currency, amounts, et cetera. They also collect, you know, unique customer data, which, you know, is unique to Count. So, you know, what's inside of the shopping basket? Are there coupon codes? Are there loyalty numbers? You know, any specific user-defined elements? So all of those two buckets, payments and unique customer data, are, we believe, quite attractive and unique about Count. In addition to that, you know, we also talked about how they collect location ID data, how they collect digital identifier data. So think about, you know, time of the day, shipping address, verification, as well as device ID, you know, IP addresses, billing and shipping addresses. So it's this holistic end-to-end collection across these four buckets that really makes Count differentiated in the marketplace.
That's great. And then just looking at slide 9, you talked about there being a $35 billion total fraud and risk and authentication market, and you're attacking right now about $19 billion of that market combined with the combined products. Is there an opportunity to go after the full market, or what's in that full market that you're not interested in going after, or is that an opportunity for you? Thanks.
Yeah, no, there's absolutely an opportunity to go after the full market. Let me also, you know, just add some additional color here. So Mark talked about the macro of the consumer trends, et cetera. You know, our customers have a variety of issues to deal with on the other side of that equation, right? So think about a credit card lender or a financial services provider, many of whom just launched or in the process of launching a digital bank. I mean, they're dealing with identity and fraud rings that are becoming more sophisticated. You know, customers are seeing an increase in synthetic IDs and bot-based attacks. You know, they're trying to figure out, is this account compromised or, you know, not? Is this email or phone number a high-risk number or not? Do I send this for a manual review, or do I approve this transaction, which might or might not impact my bottom line? And these questions cut across, as Mark noted, a variety of different verticals. Pretty much everyone who is now selling online is trying to figure out the answers to these questions. So we believe that with our investments in cloud and with this investment in Count, we're well positioned to, you know, cover the entire market.
Thank you so much.
And up next, we'll hear from Shlomo Rosenbaum with Stifel.
All right. Thank you very much. Hey, I just want to piggyback, I guess, a little from my first question on the last question. Do you think it's as differentiated as well from, like, the Threat Metrics platform as well and some of the other ones like Signify ID and SIFT? I mean, do you think that it's holistically that much better than what you're seeing out there?
We do think we're going to be very differentiated. You know, with the scale of the consumer interactions that Count brings, combined with Equifax's, you know, very deep and broad differentiated data, you know, we think we're going to have a compelling solution in the marketplace that is really unrivaled for most of the other solutions. You know, when you think about some of the other players out there, they really have, you know, data around whether it's card fraud or different verticals. In our case, we're knitting together, you know, a very broad set of capabilities from both the financial services side that we have as a credit bureau, and with the e-commerce and retail side that Count brings in. So we're really energized around the leverage that will come from that.
Okay, great. And then can you just, maybe this is for John, is the $50 million in revenue synergies you're expecting from 21 to 23 kind of on top of that 20% or so top-line growth in Count? So, like, if I extend the 20%, you know, on kind of $60 million over the next 2 years, I should be adding, like, $50 million on top of that, and then taking kind of an expected Equifax margin to kind of get an EBITDA multiple going forward 2 years?
Well, I don't think I'm going to give a growth rate in 22 and 23 specifically, but in terms of the $50 million in revenue synergies, the bulk of them occur beyond 2021. So there are some synergies certainly in 2021, but the bulk of the revenue synergies really kick in 22 and 23.
So it's on top of that? Is that what we're talking about? Because it was already growing at 20% and the $50 million is on top, or is that included in kind of the growth rate that the company's already having in 21?
Yeah. We didn't give a growth rate. We didn't give a growth rate for the underlying Count business beyond 21. So we're going to have to ask you to estimate that. But the but in terms of synergies, the bulk of the synergies, as I said, will occur in 22 and beyond. Right. There are certainly some revenue synergies this year, but the bulk of the $50 million is in 22 and beyond.
But by definition, synergies are on top of the inherent growth rate of the business. And, you know, as John pointed out, you know, we were quite attracted to the strong growth that the business has had over the last, you know, year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, you know, coming into the Equifax acquisition. And the synergies, you know, really are the combination of Count and Equifax. And by definition, they're additive to the equation.
Great. Thank you very much.
And our next question will come from George Tong with Goldman Sachs.
Hi, thanks. Good morning. You talked about the combined business improving in margins and reaching USIS margins over time. Can you discuss any explicit cost synergies and timing of realization of such cost synergies over time?
Yeah, the bulk of the opportunity between Count and Equifax is around new products and growth. There are some cost synergies around data assets, and, you know, as we mentioned, our intention is to move the Count infrastructure into the Equifax cloud capabilities. So, you know, that'll have some level of cost synergies, but the vast majority of our synergies are around you know, growth.
Got it. That's helpful. And as a follow-up, I wanted to dive deeper into the competitive landscape. You talked a little bit about some of the competitors. Who do you, I guess, mostly directly compete with today with Count and the Equifax business combined, fraud business combined? And how do you expect that competition to evolve going forward, especially as you go into newer areas of fraud and ID management and as you go internationally? How do you expect the competitors set to evolve from today to next several years?
Yeah, I'll start and I'll ask Sid to jump in. But yeah, just as a reminder, you know, Count brings us into a vertical we're not in today, retail and e-commerce. You know, so we're playing in a different space, and we believe the Equifax capabilities will be additive to what Count does in retail and e-commerce. And then, of course, conversely, the scale of their data assets are going to enhance our existing identity and fraud business in financial services, in telco, utilities, government and others. So, the part of the strategic benefits of this is the scale of the data assets. And then second is, for Equifax to enter into a new vertical. Sid, what would you add to that?
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. So e-commerce, we all know, is a $9 to $10 trillion market that generates just tremendous amounts of data, right, consumer data. Our ability to offer that data, those digital signals combined with our existing identity data and offer it in a way which is, cloud native, leverages the data fabric that we have, is going to be unparalleled. So we truly believe that from a competitive positioning perspective, the market today, which is quite fragmented and everyone has, a variety of point solutions, is going to evolve towards a few players and, players that make the investments in both the data and the tools. And, this actually allows us to do both, not just in that large e-commerce market, but our core markets also, including financial services, telco, government, utility, et cetera.
Got it. Thank you.
And our next question will come from Brett Huff with Stephens Inc.
Hey, Brett. Good morning, and good morning. Thanks for the time today, guys. Happy New Year. Sounds like a really cool acquisition. One question is that hasn't been asked that we've been thinking a little bit about is this move towards thinking more holistically about digital identity. It seems like you guys have a bunch of data that gets you there already, plus additional count data. Is that how we should think about the evolution of your thinking on this and maybe where the product goes or additional acquisitions to fill out more of an identity graph, or is that a different business altogether?
No, I think that's directionally right, Brett. This clearly brings scale of data assets that were incredibly attractive to Equifax. A billion unique IP addresses, a billion unique devices, 600 million email addresses, and I could go on. The scale of the data assets around an individual, having physical addresses, 400 million physical addresses it brings in, 200 million ship-to addresses. So there's just so many data elements that really, as you point out, create more of an identity graph around an individual, and combine that with all the identity information we have at Equifax, from our credit file, from our income and employment data, from our NCTUE database. The scale of those data assets really combined just allow you to drive predictability through more signals around, is Mark really Mark when he's applying for a credit card? Is Mark really Mark when he's, buying something online from an e-commerce perspective, and really ferreting out identity and fraud, which, as you know, because of the digital macro, is just exploding. And that's been accelerated by COVID. We think it's only going to continue. There was a strong trend towards digital and online interactions coming into COVID. That's been accelerated. I saw a quote over the weekend that, one analyst said that we've accelerated 10 years in just 9 months of digital interactions, with consumers across the globe, around digital. So it's a big macro that we think plays well for Equifax, given the scale of our data assets that we have, and Count differentiates us now with the scale of the data assets they bring into our portfolio.
And if you look at the existing Equifax revenue in this area, the bulk of it is actually in identity validation.
Right.
So we're already a participant in that market.
Gotcha. Quick follow-up. Does this change how you all think about approach to direct-to-consumer? Is there a future where, consumers can help view their data either on account or maybe a digital identity basis, or is it still, are you guys still mostly focused, I know, so far on the partner channel, or did that change?
Yeah, I think that no change in how we think about our direct-to-consumer business. We've got an attractive business. We like it. We've, invested in it as a part of our cloud transformation the last couple years. As we talked in prior calls in the fourth quarter in December, we've seen that business, improving, post the cyber event, many years ago when we stopped, advertising. No change in how we think about our direct-to-consumer business.
Okay, great. Thank you. Appreciate it.
And next, we'll hear from George Mihalos with Cowen.
Great, thanks. Good morning, guys, and congrats on the deal. Just wanted to ask one question, really. If we look at the 20% growth rate, Is that divergent at all amongst the direct partners versus the integrated partners? Just wondering where you're seeing more channel growth.
No, it's pretty consistent in what Count has been delivering. Again, this is Count's growth rate over the last number of years has been very, very strong, and it's quite broad-based and pretty consistent.
Okay, thank you.
And next we'll hear from Kevin McVeigh with Credit Suisse.
Great, thank you. Hey, you mentioned a couple times, it seems like you've been around it for about 5 years. You know, why now? Is it COVID? Is it kind of, you know, the integration of TTI? Just why now as opposed to 3 years ago?
Yeah, I can't speak too much longer than 3 years ago because I've only been here for 3 years. But I can tell you it's been a business we've admired for many years since I've been a part of Equifax. And, you know, I'm told it's a business that we've been familiar with for many, many years. And, you know, acquisitions, as you know, are sometimes situational. You know, is the company ready to sell? Are their owners ready to sell? And, you know, is Equifax in the right position? You know, when you think about, you know, the last 3 years for Equifax, you know, we've been investing heavily in the cloud transformation. We've done a handful of bolt-on acquisitions, obviously nothing at this scale, but the combination of timing, of the attractiveness of the space, meaning the identity and fraud space, the cloud transformation, you know, where we are in that journey. I mentioned earlier that, you know, quite intentional for Equifax was the fact that we're able to reinvest some of our outperformance from 2020, you know, into an acquisition like this. You know, we had a very, very strong year, as we talked about in December, you know, that outperformance, you know, generated incremental earnings and cash for us that we're able to invest in a deal like this. And, you know, as I also said, you know, it's our expectation that we're going to continue to make strategic and accretive bolt-on acquisitions like Count going forward. It's a part of our plan for the future.
It makes a lot of sense. And then just in the deck, it talks about kind of, you know, 90% reduction in chargebacks, 83% reduction in manual reviews, 70% reduction in false positives. What's driving that experience? Is it just, you know, from a client perspective? Because obviously that those are pretty strong numbers relative to if you're not using the data.
Yeah, this is Sid. I'll take that question. So it really is a combination of all of the things we talked about, right? So it's the extent of the identity network, the graph, you know, the sheer volume of transactions that comes in. Supplemented by, you know, cloud-native capabilities. And there's a lot of patents and AI and machine learning that's been infused over a number of years. Remember, Count's not a new business. They've been at it for a few years. And, you know, when you combine that expertise and their technology capabilities along with the kind of data they generate, it really creates an end-to-end experience for the customers. And we've done, you know, data studies, and we've seen how well their scores perform. And we've spoken with customers as well, and it's been very, very positive.
Thank you.
And up next, we'll hear from Gary Bisbee with BOA Securities.
Hey, good morning. I wonder if you could just explain a sort of a generic e-commerce transaction, and that, you know, that a retailer or whoever is offering, and exactly how the Count platform and data is used in that.
Sid, you want to take that one?
Sure. So, you know, think about a consumer, you know, putting stuff in their online shopping cart, you know, checking out. At the point of checkout, depending on how the technology is configured, you know, that retailer will actually ping Count systems and, you know, will supply Count with a lot of the information that we talked about, right? So, there's four buckets. There's the actual payment data. There's the, customer-specific data. There's digital identifier data. And then there's all of the location ID data. So all of that, you know, comes across through APIs into Count and, you know, Count's system, along with what the retailer has set up in terms of rules, you know, seasonality or anything that's specific to their business would kind of kick in. And along with the AI and the patents that we talked about, they would give a score back to the customer where they can say, you know, it's a yes or a no or a manual review, et cetera. I'm obviously simplifying it just to kind of put it in perspective, but they're actually in the flow of that e-commerce transaction before the actual checkout takes place.
Did you think maybe an example is, you know, you're online buying something and it's a big ticket transaction. Let's say you're buying a $1,000 TV, and for the first time you're shipping it to a address that's different than your billing address, and it's an unusual address that's never been used before. That would be flagged in some fashion by their algorithms and you know, would require either some additional verifications or it might be blocked. You know, that's an example of some of the things they do. And as you know, if someone steals your credit card and then goes online to try to buy stuff, they generally don't ship it to your home. They're going to ship it to their home. You know, those are the kind of things that, you know, Count's trying to ferret out, and much more sophisticated than that. They're, you know, they're verifying that you're that the same email address that's used historically on the account is the one you're using, the same IP address, the same cell phone number is used. So there's all these data points that are used. And, of course, we'll take that data and then bring that over on the financial services side and the telco utility side to provide an addition to the extensive data we have, which we think is really quite powerful.
That's very helpful. Thanks. And on that last point, that was going to be my follow-up. Sort of what's the application of this e-commerce and transaction-based capability for your core customer sets, you know, financial utilities?
Same thing. You know, as you know, there's just an explosion of consumers interacting and use the financial institutions, one, you know, digitally, you know, with their bank. You apply for a credit card for the first time. You're a new customer with a bank. You're applying online and digitally. That happens, you know, every second, you know, in the United States. And there's a lot of identity and fraud efforts that go on there. And for us, we have solutions today that we sell in the marketplace that are quite effective based on the data we have inside of Equifax. Think about what it does, and obviously we did in doing this acquisition. You know, when you add the just massive amount of data that Count brings to the equation around an individual, that just really strengthens the predictability that you're really you when you're applying for that financial transaction, when you're applying for that new credit card, that P loan or whatever it is. And it really just plays into the digital macro, you know, which is so large. So it's really quite exciting to us, the combination of our extensive data with Count's, you know, even more extensive data around individuals.
Thanks. That makes a lot of sense.
Our next question comes from Jeff Mueller with Baird.
Yeah, thanks.
Hey,
good morning, everyone. So I heard the comment about integrating it with Ignite and neurodecisioning capabilities. Just fully recognize ID and fraud is a big and growthy TAM, but I guess my question is, are you limited to fraud and ID use cases, or can you extend it to other use cases? So I'm thinking of things like targeted marketing solutions using this data, or at this scale level, maybe there's interesting things you can do mirroring the spend data with the income data you have. And, you know, fully recognize with these types of data models, you know, first and foremost, you need to preserve the relationship with the data contributors, but can you take it to those types of use cases?
Yeah, some of the use cases you described, we wouldn't go to, and it's not a part of our plans. Like you know, marketing for the reasons you describe. You know, the focus is going to be on identity and fraud, where you know, there's a permissions in place to be able to do that, and you know, that would clearly be our focus, and you know, is 100% of where you know our synergies are, and everything we've talked about so far in the call this morning, and you know, part of all the work we're doing around integrating it in new product solutions.
Got it. And then what needs to happen for share repurchases to return to the capital allocation mix at this point? Recognize you're calling this a tuck-in, but it's a pretty chunky one. That's it. Thanks.
Hey, Jeff, as you might imagine, I'm going to defer that question you know, to maybe our fourth quarter earnings call in a few weeks.
Fair enough. Thanks, Mark.
Thanks.
And once again, if you'd like to ask a question, press star 1. And our next question, we'll take a follow-up from Shlomo Rosenbaum with Stifel.
Hi, thank you for letting me back in. I just want to ask about some of the partners that are in there. There's a presentation where you have Count's Orchestration Hub, and you have some of the the other suppliers that are in there, like Neustar and White Pages Pro and Telesign, LexisNexis. You've also got like Experian, and I'm trying to understand where do some of the other players come in terms of your ability to say, you know, supplant an Experian that's already in there, and you know, Count's actually owning. You know, where does Count's ownership come? Where does it get to the point where it actually owns it versus aggregating data that might come from other suppliers?
I think, as we mentioned, the vast majority of the data that Count has is Count originated. Do you want to add to that, Sid?
Yeah. So think about Count as the originator of all of that e-commerce data through the retailer side that comes into their network that allows them to, give them the retailers a decision. Now, they also, as part of that, provide, orchestration or software capabilities or case management capabilities to the end customer. And, it's a very flexible platform. So if a customer says, I want to bring in some additional data, third-party data, they can pipe it into the orchestration platform. But it's truly Count's own proprietary data that makes them differentiated in the marketplace. I'd also add, you talked about partners. They rely a lot on, very strong partnerships. They have a partnership with Barclays. They have a partnership with Chase Payment Tech, with the likes of Moneris, et cetera, and PayPal, which really allows them to, distribute their product in the e-commerce space quite extensively.
Great. Thank you.
We have no further questions in the queue. I'll hand the call back to Dorian Hare for any additional or closing remarks.
Thanks, everybody, for dialing in for today's call. This does conclude the call for today. Investor Relations and myself will be around to answer any questions, particularly relating to this transaction. We do look forward to discussing our fourth quarter results in the next few weeks, as Mark indicated.
And ladies and gentlemen, this does conclude today's call. We thank you for your participation, and you may now disconnect.